Hear me? I want to get one of these songs here because if I recall, I'm going to reference it during today's word. Amen. Amen. Let's continue. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you are so awesome. And you don't need for us to tell you that because you are. Father, open up our eyes that we would see how awesome you really are. Open up our eyes to see your majesty and your glory and your power, your authority, your sovereignty, Lord. You are already all that, established on your throne. Nothing and no one can remove you from your position of sovereignty over the earth and over the universe. Give us eyes to see that, Lord, and come into agreement with it. Today, Lord, have your way in our hearts. We surrender our hearts and our minds to you, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be free to speak to us exactly what we need to hear, that you would conform us more into the image of our glorious Lord and Savior Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are so awesome. So awesome. We love you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. During worship, I was excited about worship. If you were wondering where all that shouting was coming from in the back, that was me back at the soundboard. And I was just sensing in the spirit, I was sensing that we were right on the edge of breakthrough, right on the edge of people being released into areas of worship that they've maybe have felt uncomfortable doing in the past. I encourage you. I did a series earlier this year. I believe it was April, May, and June, or March, April, and May on worship. And in that series, I outlined biblically what we are permitted to do biblically. And whatever the Bible says we should be doing in worship, I want to encourage you to participate. I want to encourage you to if you feel like shouting, that's okay. If you feel like just sitting there, because you can sit in worship, you can lay down in worship, you can dance in worship, you can shout in worship, you can raise your hands, you can clap. There's a plethora of things that are biblically acceptable. And I was just sensing we were right on the edge of it. And don't let fear. Don't let uncertainty, especially don't let uncertainty on what is permitted and what's permissible in God's presence and what's permissible in this church. Tom and I have talked about it. We've prayed about it. We want to see God move on the hearts of his people, and we want to see you totally sold out in your worship and your honoring and your glorifying of God. Go on to the website, New Life Churches, no, New Life EHT. newlifeeht.org, and download those messages on worship. And it kind of outlines what the Bible says we can and can't do. And we are acceptable to all of it when it's done in propriety. There's also some balance given in there as to when things should be done and how they should be done and how they shouldn't be done. But we don't want to hold back what God wants to do. And I was sensing today that we were right on the edge. And some of us were like, well, you know, I hear people shouting. Is it okay if I shout? Yes. To answer your question, whoever that was, how many of you, it's okay. You know, I hear clapping. I'm not sure. This is the right time to clap. We're in worship. Anytime is the right time to clap. So long as it's from a heart of wanting to exalt and praise him. I was ready to just bust out of myself back there. I really enjoyed worship this morning. Continuing in our series now, the second part of this series, Types of Prayer, we talked about the simplicity of prayer 2 weeks ago. And for a quick review of that, Matthew 6:5, Jesus says, and when you pray. So when he tells his disciples, and when you pray, there's an assumption there that we will be praying. It's not if you pray, it's when you pray. Okay, and then further in the word in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are reminded to pray without ceasing. And Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit. So we are exhorted, not just when we pray, but we are to be in continual prayer. It's not just a time where you're in the morning and you're doing your devotions and you do your prayer and you notch it on your list of things to do and you walk away and you go live your life without any more communication to God for the rest of the day, or communication with God for the rest of the day. No, God has intended for him to dwell within us so that we can bring him everywhere we go, and in every situation we're in communication with him, talking to him, thanking him, praising him, crying out in desperation, because sometimes we really need that, you know. And God has given us prayer as a weapon and as a tool. So we need to maintain an attitude of prayer. I mentioned this, I think, last time. Let's Talk About Jesus was a radio program some years ago when I first got saved, which was in the early to mid-80s. And it was a radio program hosted by Wayne Momblo, Let's Talk About Jesus. And he always emphasized practicing the presence of the Lord. And just practicing his presence. You know, just being reminding yourself, oh yeah, God is with me, you know, through every situation. And as we do that, then we become more sensitive to what he's speaking to us. We're in communication with him. And it totally transformed my understanding of what it means to remain in his presence and to pray. It's not just my prayer time during devotion and go through my list. It's more than that. We talked about what prayer was not. And if you want to know what prayer is not and how God answers prayer, there is no CD from the last time, I don't think. It didn't finalize. I'm not sure whether it got recorded. God answers prayers in three ways. Yes, no, and wait, pretty much. And most of the time, if it's not yes and it's not a clear no, he's pretty much saying wait, right? The purpose of prayer is communication with God and invitation to get to know him. I had mentioned if we want to get to know someone, what do? We get around them and we spend time in their presence, right? Everybody knows President Obama. But who here has spent time with him and know him? I don't think any of us. So knowing of someone and knowing someone are two different things. We can know of God. We can know of this God in the Bible that is spoken of. But do you know him? And the way we get to know him is to spend time and communicate with him. Prayer, the purpose of prayer is to change who we are, to change our values and line them up with God's values. And also the purpose of prayer is to accomplish his will, because God does nothing without first revealing it to his saints. If people will not go out and evangelize, the word of God will not spread. God will not write it across the sky, although he can, but he's chosen to use his people to build his kingdom, to speak life, right? To pray for situations and to bring change. And we talked that prayer changes things. It does change things. And we talked about prayer. There are essentially two types of prayer. And in your notes, you'll see 19 different types. And I've summarized them into essentially two types of prayer. There are effective prayers and ineffective prayers. Amen? There are prayers that are powerful and that are effective, and then there are prayers that are not. Prayers that are effective, we have this confidence in approaching God that if we ask anything, anything, five things, seven things, we have our list of 30, and God says, nope, only two today. No, anything according to his will, not according to our will, not according to the desire of our hearts, not according to what we might even perceive his will to be, because we could be blinded in that, but according to his will. How do we know what his will is? By spending time with him and reading his word. Amen? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. It says man here, but it's man, woman, child, anyone. And we're righteous. We already stand fully righteous, fully holy, fully clothed in the Holy Spirit in God's presence. He sees us through the righteousness of Christ. ineffective prayers Jesus or James has in his letter. You ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. There are motivations that cause us to pray, and sometimes we're deceived in our own hearts as to, you know, what is driving it. Amen. Now, prayer is kind of, it's really strange. Prayer is strange. I liken prayer to church attendance and reading your Bible. I've discovered that we don't read our Bible like we ought. We don't pray like we ought. We don't get in the gathering of the saints like we ought. And how many can agree with me on that? I'm not even going to watch because every hand should be up. Because we all have a sense of guilt about not reading enough, not praying enough, right? Not spending time in church enough. You know, I would love to do more, but I can't. And I think deep down, you know, Jeremiah says our heart is deceitfully wicked, and we can't even discern our own heart. I believe deep down, self is boiling over and saying, if you go to church, you're going to be challenged by God's word to conform more like Jesus, and you're going to have to change the way you think and the way you talk and the way you act. If you read the Bible, you're going to read the truth of God, and it's going to challenge you to change the way you think, the way you act, the way you talk. If you spend time in prayer, that's even really more intimate than getting in the gathering of the saints and reading the word. You're talking to God personally. You know, I don't know. He's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do, and I don't want to have to be confronted with that, so I'm just going to kind of like not go. I'm pretty busy this week. Didn't have time kind of thing. And prayer, I think, is that way. And it's kind of sad. I find myself running away from prayer and running away from my devotion times and looking for opportunities to call in sick. You know, because self wants, you know, to do what self wants to do. And Jesus wants to teach us how to die to ourselves. That's why he created marriage. Where else can you be in such an intense relationship where someone knows you so deeply that you can't hide anything and you're getting called out on all of it, okay? It's an opportunity to learn what it means to die to yourself and to serve someone and to love someone who at times you just don't feel like loving and they don't deserve it. They did this to me. Why should I love them? Why should I do this? You did this to me, you know, and God wants us to overcome that. We overcome those attitudes and we overcome those self thoughts and feelings by spending time in his word, spending time in his presence, and spending time here, rubbing shoulders, irritating each other, right? Forgiving each other, preferencing each other. That's what God calls us to do. Some of the terminology in prayer can be confusing. Supplication, intercession, praying in the spirit, imprecation, consecrate, dedicate, commit. You know, what is intercession? What is supplication? Kind of we read these words and we kind of gloss over them and say, oh, well, that's prayer. Intercession is prayer. Supplication is prayer. But God has specifics on some of these types of prayer. And we're going to look at some of these types of prayer for a couple of reasons. One reason is so that you can gain an understanding that there are different types of prayer. And you will identify, hey, I've prayed that kind of prayer in the past. I didn't realize it was that kind of a prayer. And then as you understand what kinds of different types of prayer there are, you're better armed in a situation to know what kind of prayer to pray. Okay? Types of prayer. There's the prayer of faith. In James 5:15, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. It's interesting, faith, okay? Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith. Now, what is faith? It's being well-grounded assurance of that which we hope for and a conviction of the reality of the things we don't see. Let's break that down. A well-grounded assurance of what we hope for. All right, it's not a flimsy hope, a wishy-washy hope. It is something that we have an assurance of, a certainty. okay? It's something that we have a certainty of our hope. And it's the conviction of the reality of things that aren't seen. How many people here have actually seen the face of God? How many people actually watched when the world was created? And likewise, those who do not believe in the creation and believe in evolution, we can ask them the same question. Right? Were you there when the earth evolved, when there was a big bang? And nobody can say that they were. So they have a deep conviction, right, of the reality of things which are not seen. It takes just as much faith, I believe more personally, to believe in evolution than it takes to believe in God. Because when you enter into a relationship with God, he personally comes and touches your heart. And as Jesus said in John chapter 3, the Spirit is like the wind, right? You don't see the wind, you don't see where it's coming from, and you don't see where it's going, but you feel the effects of it, right? You can see the effects of it with the wind, with the weight, with the trees blowing in the wind and paper blowing across the ground. You can see the effects of the wind, and the Holy Spirit is like the wind, right? Can't see it, but you can see the effects of it. You can feel the effects of it. And when you enter into a personal relationship with God, all of a sudden you start to hear his voice and you start to understand who he is. Now you're in a relationship with someone that you're spending time with and talking to. And God brings conviction to your heart because now you have a certainty. Number one, that he is true and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and he's not like man that he should lie. Amen? So we have an assurance of our hope because our hope is in a God that doesn't lie. He's not like man. Amen? Not only do we have the hope of our insurance because of his character, we have the hope of our insurance because of past experience. All right? How many in here are sports fans? Some of us, okay? All right? Sports fans at the beginning of the season. Right, Bob? We have an assurance of hope and a certainty of things not seen. It's the beginning of football season, and we see the Super Bowl trophy for our team, and we see them winning. It hasn't happened yet, but we have conviction that they're going to win. We have an assurance that they're a good team this year. Only to watch himself implode. And I won't make any predictions this sermon. If you recall, September or January, some years ago when the Eagles were playing the Packers. I said, Eagles are playing the Packers today, and you know, end of the game, Michael Vick is down there. They're going to throw a touchdown for an interception, throw a pass for a touchdown, and pff, interception. And don't you know that's what happened in the game? I forget how many people were very upset with me that I said, why couldn't you say that he caught it and it was a touchdown? You know, I didn't know I was that prophetic. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for and being certain of what we don't see. We have an assurance in our hope in a God who has character because he can't lie, and he's also proven himself through the ages. There's not one prophecy that has failed, and the prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled will come to pass. We have that assurance. And we're certain in the things we don't see because none of us have seen God. None of us have seen heaven. Paul did. He went up there, right, into the third heaven and came down. And I think he was even more convicted at that point that, whoa, this is, you know, whoa. I saw things that I can't even utter. I didn't think he could utter them because there aren't words to explain it, and I didn't think he could not utter it because God told him not to. It was a whole host of reasons why he couldn't utter what he saw. They're inexplicable. Is that a word? Yes. Inexplicable. Inexplicable. Okay. Almost got it. So praying in faith is praying with the belief and the certainty in God's character, Not saying, oh, I've got faith. I'm going to get a job that's going to pay me lots of money. I got faith for that job. You know, well, if it's, I mean, God's will might be to let you have another job. Our faith is not in things and in stuff. Our faith is in the character of God and his promises and who he is. That's where our faith rests. Our faith is, I know God has a job for me. Doesn't matter which one it is. Thank you for providing it, Lord. And I'm just looking for you to open the door. Exodus 14:14, God says, you don't have to do anything. Just stand back and watch me move. That's where our faith is. Our faith is in God's character, not faith that that job is mine, faith that whatever job God has for me is mine. There are prayers of agreement, agreeing with God's will. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 Thessalonians, I referenced this also earlier, 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to pray continually. Rejoice always and to give thanks. Amen? John 15, the teaching where Jesus talked about the fruit and the vine. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We can go really way out into left field with that scripture if we take it out of context. And there's the hyper faith movement that says, name it, claim it. You know, God has nothing but good for you. That's a false gospel. God has good for you. All good gifts come down from all heavenly good gifts. What is it? Comes down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. But our understanding of what good is might need to be redefined. It was good 8 years ago for me to be laid up for a few weeks and be in the hospital, and it was good to have heart surgery. You know, the bodies fail, things get weak. If I didn't have surgery, I'd be 8 years, 6 feet under right now, literally. Ask whatever you wish. If you abide in Christ and his words abide in you, and ask according to his will. The trick is understanding God's will and allowing his word to abide in us so that our prayers are in line and our thoughts, you know, and our hopes and our dreams are in line with his, not our own selfish pursuits and our own selfish passions. We can pray in agreement with the Spirit. Zechariah 12:12, the land shall mourn, each family by itself, the family of the house of David itself. The word mourn there means to groan without words, to groaning, groanings and moanings that are too deep for words. How many of us have gotten to the point of desperation to where all we can do is just, oh, God, that's all we can say. And we don't know what to pray. Romans tells us in 8:26, the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. It's the same, not the same word, because the word in Zechariah is Hebrew and the word in Romans is Greek. It's the same meaning, a groanings without words, too deep to express. Ephesians 6:18 says to pray at all times in the Spirit with prayers and supplication. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verses 14 to 16, read this with me. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with the Spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with the Spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't know what you're saying? There's the prayer language of praying in tongues, where God gives us a prayer language and people don't know what we're saying. So when we're praying in tongues, how can they say amen? Because they don't know what we're praying. And our spirit speaks directly to God's Spirit. When I looked this up, in some cases they had the word pneuma, which is the word for the Spirit, both for our spirit and for the Holy Spirit. And at times there's a capital S, and at times there's a small s. When it refers to our breath, because that's what spirit, pneuma, means, breath. When it speaks to the breath in us, the spirit in us, it's a small s. When it speaks to the breath of God, it's yes, Baruch Hashem, or is it Ruach, is the Hebrew word, Ruach, Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. And here, I looked it up in Strong's, and the capital S is where the capital S is, and the small s is where the small s is. And once again, if I pray, let's just read the first and last lines, and I made reference to this. For if I pray in a tongue, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen? Of an outsider say amen, because they don't understand what I'm saying. But if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays in communion with God, connecting with God, but my mind is unfruitful. Meaning, I don't understand what I'm saying, all right? So what am I going to do? I will pray in the Spirit, but I'm also going to pray with intelligible words, with understanding. I'm going to sing in the Spirit, with my spirit to God's Spirit, but I'm also going to sing with my mind, with intelligible words. Amen? So there is the language that God gives us, and Paul himself said, I would that you would all speak in tongues. And there's some controversy in the church today as whether that's actually a prayer language or a known language to man, and we can get into the nitpicking of it and begin to argue with each other. And I think that's what the enemy wants us to do, because if we spend all our time arguing with each other over whether tongues is biblical or whether it's a prayer language or whether it's another language known to man, then he has us right where he wants us. We're arguing with each other, and we're not going out after a lost world. And the world sees us arguing with each other, and they're like, I get plenty of that where I'm at right now. Why would I be you? If you have a brother that speaks in tongues and you don't believe it, praise God. Right? If you pray in tongues and your brother doesn't, praise God. Rejoice with your brother. Amen. As Pastor Arnold said, you know, one brother believes this, another brother believes that. I agree with my brother. Amen. And then there's agreement with believers. Matthew 9:18. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. There's agreement with others. All these in Acts 1:14 were in one accord, devoted to praying together. Amen. There's corporate prayer where we're united. And our sister Loretta gave reference to this today. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, plural, corporately, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. Acts 1:14. All these were in one accord. We read that previously. Acts 12:12. When he realized this, he went into the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. There's corporate prayer. There's private prayer. I read articles that are like, well, the Bible says we should pray privately. So all this corporate prayer stuff, you know, praying and prayer meetings, you know, that's not biblical. I'm like, I read an article going back to worship that actually said you can't worship sitting down. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you should worship sitting down. And I have a problem with that, because there are some people who can't stand up. We have physical infirmities that might prevent us from standing up. What do you tell someone who's confined to a wheelchair? Oh, you can't worship God, you're sitting down. Sorry, it's just your lot in life. And I found three places, by the way, where worship is permitted sitting down. Private prayer. There's the private prayer. When you, Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, what? Go into the room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you will reward you. Mark 1:38. Jesus, and in Luke 5:16, Jesus went to a desolate place. Desolate, alone, and prayed. Prayer should be continual. Romans 12:12. Be constant in prayer. Ephesians 6:8, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, once again. Pray at all times, pray without ceasing. Prayer with fasting. The disciples and Jesus encountered a demon-possessed man, and they couldn't cast him out. Jesus said, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting, right? Acts 13:2-3, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I've called them. Then after praying and fasting and praying, they laid hands on them. And the story of Esther, Mordecai wants to destroy the Jews. Haman, thank you. I know this story. We have many movies, and it's one of my favorites. Haman wants to destroy the Jews. And Esther gets elevated into the place of a queen to a heathen king, and she's a Jew. And she tells everybody, tell everyone, go and pray and fast and seek the Lord for 3 days, and I will go before the king uninvited. And if I perish, I perish. So they prayed and fasted, and God brought deliverance for his people. Supplication. Supplications means to make requests, okay? And the supplications can be for yourself or it can be for others, but primarily the supplications are for your needs, okay? Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in your heart, make your requests known to God. Thanksgiving, the next one, same scripture. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 13 times Paul in scriptures, and I have them listed there, give a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. You know, oh my God, how I praise you and I thank you for fill in the blank. And you can read all of these, very powerful. We're even encouraged to even pray these ourselves. These are very powerful prayers. And yes, there's no copyright infringement if you take this prayer and you read it and pray it for yourself. All right, it's powerful. It is good stuff. Intercession is to pray for the needs of others. 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Jeremiah 29:7, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. We're to pray for our country. We're to pray for our president, whether we agree with him or not. Whoever the next president is, whether we agree with him or her, they're our president. And agreement, disagreement with their positions is not a license to dishonor them. All right? Let me say that again. Disagreement with them in the positions that they stand in does not give us a platform to dishonor them, because scripture tells us to honor the king and honor those who are in authority. There's a balance in there that we all need to find for ourselves of how we can honor people that we disagree with. Amen. Prayers of desperation. How familiar and how close does that hit to home? Oh, prayers of desperation. Oh. Moses told God, if your presence doesn't come with us, don't even send us. I don't want to go anywhere where your presence doesn't go. You know, I am not going to do this on my own. If your presence doesn't come with me, forget it. Forget it, God. Desperate prayers, I find, are the most raw and the most real and the most unashamed prayers, because really we've gotten to a point to where we don't care about piety. We don't care about how it looks. All we care about is an answer, because I'm desperate. Amen. Jacob, what did he say when he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord? I will not let you go until you bless me. I am not going to let you go. The Lord touched his hip and pulled a socket out of joint. I will not let you go until you bless me. Hannah, She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly and vowed a vow. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, her womb was closed. Her maidservant had children and was rubbing it in her face. And she's crying out in desperation, O Lord, don't forget me. If you will give me a son, I will give him back to you to serve you all the days of his life. And God gave her Samuel, and she held on to him until he was weaned, and she took him to the priest. And there Samuel became Samuel the prophet, 1 and 2 Samuel, the king, the prophet that anointed King David. Job, very raw prayers. Jesus himself, I'm going to turn to this in a second here, and Job's, I want you to listen to some of this and try to get through these. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with what? Loud cries and tears. That sounds desperate. That sounds intense. Amen? To him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard. Why? Because Jesus had reverence for his Father. Listen to Job's prayers. I loathe my life. I will give free utterance to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Let me know why you contend against me. Does it seem good to you to oppress, to despise the work of your hands, and favor the design of the wicked? Wow, what kind of a question is that? Is that like how you want to talk to God? What is it, Lord? What is it with me? What's wrong with me? Why are you letting this happen to me when I look around and I see all the wicked people thrive? What's your problem, God? I mean, how many of us have brass enough and are unabashed enough to talk to God that way? All right? This is good stuff, right? Do you have eyes of flesh? Job asks God. Do you see as man sees? Are your days as the days of man and your years as man's years? Do you seek out my iniquity and search for my sin? Although you know I'm not guilty, and there is none to deliver out of your hand. It goes on. It's like, wow. And then later in Hebrews, Job is commended for his faith and being able to pray to God like that. I've had two or three prayers like that in my life where I didn't care what I said and how I felt. God knew what I was saying between my ears silently. Anyway, I wasn't going to hide it from him, and I was raw. And sometimes we get that way. But God honors the integrity of our spirit when we're honest with him, open with him, transparent with him, not hiding anything, even our anger and our questions because we don't understand. I encourage you. Desperate prayers they hurt. They're in times of desperation, but God hears us. They're good prayers, all right? There are prayers of fellowshipping and just listening to God. We don't have to go to him with our continual lists. Mary sat at the feet of the Lord and listened. Amen. Luke 10, 38 to 42, and Jesus commended her. She's picked the better thing. Yeah, it's good to serve me, Martha. But Mary picked what's better. Psalm 62, 5 and 6. For you, God alone, O my soul, wait in silence and hope for him. Zephaniah 1, 7, be silent before the Lord. There's consecration, prayers of consecration and dedication. Let's pick one of these out here. 1 Chronicles 29, 5, and for all the work to be done by craftsmen, this is when they were forming the temple and building the tabernacle, gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver, who then will offer willingly and consecrate himself. Consecrate means to set apart. We are consecrated, therefore we are sanctified. We are set apart. We are forgiven, made whole, made right, and we're sanctified and set apart. Consecrated. Then there's prayers of dedication where we will dedicate things. Hannah dedicated her son Samuel, correct? And I'm not going to read all these because I'm running out of time and I don't want to continue this into a three-part series. Then there's prayers of commitment, Psalm 37:5. Commit yourself to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. We can commit our ways unto the Lord. Psalm says, commit your way unto the Lord and you will succeed. Amen. Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, we make a commitment. I believe. We commit in our hearts, in our minds, to believe. Amen? And Joshua says, as for me and my house, amen, we will serve the Lord. We've committed to that, and that's who we are. Amen. There's the prayer for forgiveness of others and the prayer for the forgiveness of ourselves. Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Stephen, when he was being stoned, said, Lord, don't hold this against them. And Jesus, even when he was being nailed to the cross, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what you're doing, what they're doing. And then the confession of repentance. We've all been there. You know, have mercy on me. Luke 18:13, the tax collector and the Pharisee, amen? The Pharisee says, oh Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like him, tax collector. And the tax collector says, oh, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, God, a sinner. And the tax collector went away justified, amen? Repentance. Simon Peter saw Jesus and he fell at his feet saying, oh, depart from me. I'm a sinner. You're holy. Whoa. Amen. Then there's warfare, prayers of warfare. Ephesians 6:20-10. In there it says, put on the whole armor of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and supplications. Amen. It's war. It is war. Psalm 44:5. Through you we push down our foes. Through your name we tread down those who rise up against us. Zechariah, it's not by might nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. How was that, Dave? Was that on key? Was that? Yeah, it wasn't too. And one of my favorite stories, 2 Chronicles 20:10-30, Jehoshaphat is battling against three nations. And they cry, they pray. I believe they even fast. I'm not sure. And they like, God, what are we going to do? And God says, don't worry, I'm going to fight for you. Go out to battle tomorrow, and I will fight for you. And this is so cool. And when they had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. And they went before the army, the worship team. Went before the army, okay? And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the man of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were routed. All right, I was thinking, how can we parallel this? How can we think of this? Okay, the worship team went on before the army. All right, the United States back in the 60s was at war with Vietnam, and that would be like giving Bob Dylan, the Mamas and the Papas, and, Well, not necessarily the role. I was thinking of singers that had a contention against the war. They would sing, like, against the war. Their main purpose of writing their songs was peace and love. Country Joe and the Fish, Bob Dylan, and the Mamas and the Papas, sending them out first before we send out our Marines and our Navy and our Air Force in Vietnam. I mean, that's kind of like what they did. That's pretty ridiculous if you think about it, all right? So here we are. We're on the worship team, Dave, right? We're on the front lines. Amen, right, Luke? Bob? Yeah. Amen. Suit up. Put on the whole armor. Amen. Suit up. I love it. We also, in warfare, have the authority to bind and to loose, right? Truly, I say to you, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus himself said again in Luke 19, behold, I give you authority. You. Yes. you, all of us. He has given authority. We are vested in his authority. You see a police officer on the road, he's in his suit, the sirens and the lights are going. He has authority. He does this, what do? You stop. You see Joe Schmo out there in shorts and a t-shirt, and he's doing like this, what do? Who are you? That guy is weird, standing in the middle of the street with his hand up like that, right? The police officer is vested in authority. You've been vested with the Holy Spirit, and you have authority in the spiritual realm to bind and loose. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And Jesus has given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over what? Just a small portion of the power of the enemy. No, he's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen? It even says in Scripture that when we go before the Lord and we actually see Satan, we're going to be like, this is the one? This is him who was giving me all that trouble my whole life? What's wrong with me? We're going to be shocked at how petty and small and insignificant and powerless he was, or even is now today. Yet we still wrestle against spiritual principalities. We still fight. It's a war. Amen? We fight because God's given us the authority, and we fight in prayer, right? The weapons of our warfare, what are they? They're not fleshly, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, mighty in God, right? Amen. Amen. And then there's prayers of imprecation. I discovered this, and I was like, eh? Imprecation? Yes. Throughout Psalms, you hear these prayers, and sometimes they're confusing. These are prayers that invoke God's punishment on our enemies. Lord, get them. You saw what he did to me, Lord, you know? How many of us want to pray that, right? It's like, all right, I'm not allowed to have revenge, but you can, Lord, go get him. It's almost like your dog on a leash. All right, God, let's go. All right. And somebody says something you don't like. Let the leash off. Go get him. Kind of a thing, you know? And I think you have a story of when you let God off the leash, when praying in the Spirit became new to you. I remember this story. And you saw someone who was, I'm not sure, they weren't of the Lord. They were, I don't know if they were, I'm not sure, but you spoke out against them when it really wasn't your time to speak out against them. And the enemy came heavy upon you. You got beat up. Yeah, Pastor will tell you, she got beat up. You know, she wasn't clothed in the Spirit, and she did it. And I remember you testifying to this. You did it out of the pride of your heart because I have authority. After all, I have authority. You know, go. You know, it's almost like the seven sons of Sceva. Well, the Lord got him, yeah, but we learn a lesson when, good, the Lord got him eventually. Donna of Sceva. All right, the sons of Sceva, all right, they thought they could just take the name of Jesus and wield it around and do whatever. Right, and the sons of Sceva, seven of them, got beat up by one person who was filled with a demon because the demon said, "Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? You're not clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. You don't have the seal of the Holy Spirit on you. I can see," and they wailed on him. They taught him a lesson. They ran out naked. They ripped clothes. Just beat him. So we're not to pray these prayers, in all honesty. These were prayers of the Old Testament, asking God to kind of like defend them. We can ask God to defend us, but this is important. These are prayers that invoke God's punishment on our enemies. This type of prayer should only be directed toward our spiritual enemies, not towards brothers and sisters, not towards anyone who is a human being, because every human being is precious in God's sight and worth every drop of blood that Jesus spilled. I don't care who that person is, and I don't care what that person has done. We have terrorists today that are chopping off heads of Christians. All right, well, let me introduce you to another terrorist, Saul of Tarsus. What, he was a terrorist. If you were a Christian, you were hauled into court, and your head was chopped off, and you were killed. All right, and now what's happening today? You're a Christian, you're not even hauled into court. Your head is chopped off, and you're killed. All right, and what did God do with that terrorist? Just save them. Every soul is precious. Doesn't matter who they are. Jesus paid for their salvation. And we need to be mindful of that and realize people are not our enemy. And we need to pray these kinds of prayers towards the spiritual realm. We're told in Scripture that we're to pray for our enemies, pray for their salvation, and that God would have mercy on those who persecute us. Amen? So these are the different kinds of prayers we have. Thank you for your patience. I know I went over. Let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for the vested authority that you've given us to pray not only with authority and to pray with power, but also, Lord, to pray for others, to pray for ourselves. Lord, to pray corporately in agreement, even as this nation is coming together, as Loretta told us, over the next few weeks. And there is a Tuesday night coming up where there's prayer and worship for this country, and women are getting together. September 25th or something, Green Tree Church is opening up their church where they're calling women to come together and pray for this country. Lord, call us to pray together with the saints and bring us also into that time of privacy, Lord, where we have that secret place and that time with you where you can speak to us. Lord, so many weapons at our disposal. Teach us to pray, Lord. Remind us of your presence every second and with every breath, that we would commune with you and allow you to lead and guide and direct us, and use us, Lord, in every situation that you place us, to speak hope, to speak life, to speak your love, and to build your kingdom. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Let me pray a blessing over you, and we have stuff in the back, the coffee and the juices and the danishes. If you want to come over and fellowship and get to know each other, get to know people that you haven't met yet, please do. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May our Lord lift up his countenance to you, and may he grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.